Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. Happy Sunday. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius. I'm Carl Nordgren. This is the show that provides you with multiple takes on what it means to be creative, lots of different insights on what it means to be entrepreneurial and innovative. And I do that by giving you different ideas that I've got, but I also accomplish that by making sure we've got great guests who can come in and share their wisdoms with you. And today we have a wonderful guest, Nick Bradfield, a father, a husband. He was a sergeant in the Marine Corps, and all you Marines out there, yes, you know, once a Marine, always a Marine. His first entrepreneurial forays were in the financial tech sector. I met him when he was one of the leaders building this wonderful nonprofit organization called Bunker Labs. It's a bunch of military vets who are helping other military vets become entrepreneurs, an organization that pays it forward, and that's Nick's vibe. He's a guy that always wants to provide, always wants to give. He's now an implementer of the entrepreneurial operating system, where he helps businesses of 250 employees or fewer be more successful as a business, find their vision, find the way to make that vision happen, and as he puts it, so that the owners can take a vacation, and can finally take a vacation because they're confident that the business is going to run without them. Today, Nick is going to focus on a big part of what he shares with folks, and that's helping teams and team members be accountable and get their best work done through the leadership techniques that Nick is going to share with us. So thank you very much for being here this morning, Nick.
Thanks for having me, Carl. Looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, too. Anything you want to add to your introduction?
No, I'm excited to be here. The only other thing that I didn't mention in my bio is I'm a big Yankees fan, and they're in the World Series, so let's go Yankees.
Well, I'm a Yankees fan only in that they have Rizzo and Marcus Stroman on the team, former Cubs, and so
yeah.
The Dodgers don't have any former Cubs, so I'll root for the team that's got the most Cubs left over. So let's talk about how to make teams accountable. So much of all the important work is done in teams, right? It's some people think of creativity as the solo act, but so much important work is done in teams. How do we get the best out of our teams?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, is really designed to help align human energy to achieve these big, hairy, audacious goals. So oftentimes when someone has, if you're a Jim Collins fan, he coined the term BHAG or big, hairy, audacious goal. When an entrepreneur or someone trying to achieve some sort of greatness, they get this creative genius going and at some point they realize they can't do it all themselves. And to really achieve this big, hairy, audacious goal, they need to surround themselves with great people and align all that human energy in the same direction so they're all rowing in the same direction and going after the same thing. So team building is absolutely a huge part of creative genius for sure.
So aligning, I like that alignment, right? We got to make sure the folks are aligned and moving in the same direction to have some, what does EOS tell us about how to accomplish that alignment?
Yeah, that alignment focuses on three things. So it focuses on ensuring everyone is rowing in the same direction. So everyone's aligned on the vision. We know where we're going and how we're going to get there. They gain traction with discipline and accountability by implementing a simple set of tools that help them do that. And then they focus on being a healthy team. Oftentimes, teams focus on being smart. How can we do things better, faster, cheaper, more efficient? But they're not focused on being healthy. So the team part of being healthy is really kind of about being kind versus being nice. So being nice is not wanting to rock the boat. Being kind is saying what needs to be said and dealing with meaty issues because it's got the greater good in mind and
in a way that benefits.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I like that a whole lot. The middle one that you said was that traction?
Yes.
And so do you have an example of how one makes that traction engage?
There are several. So the biggest part about traction is what gets measured gets moved. Okay. Now, there are a couple things you need to do before that. So that's talking about weekly measurables, and you know, you have this big, hairy, audacious goal, breaking it down to what it looks like in 3 years, what does it look like in 1 year, what do we need to do over the next 90 days, and then just getting in this 90-day world. But coming back to the alignment of human energy, to do that, we need the right people in the right seats.
Right.
We need to have great people executing on this vision and to gain that traction.
Right.
So the first step, oftentimes what people will think is, here's the people I have, where should I put them? What we teach is, let's kind of flip that script on its head and say, what are the major functions or major roles we need to accomplish this big thing? And that might change over time. So you're looking 6 to 12 months out. What are the major roles that we need in place to accomplish this thing?
And it likely will change over time.
More than likely, yes. Yeah. And from there, you establish the roles, then carve out what are the responsibilities, the high-level five-ish things that each role is responsible for. Because if you have 50, it's too many and people will just get confused. So you've got the roles, you've got the responsibilities laid out, so everyone knows exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Everyone knows their lane, and you don't have people running all over the place. That helps you align who's doing what and when. Once you do that, then you can put the people in the seats.
Got it.
And when you're putting the people in the seats, you're thinking, all right, you're looking at three things: get it, want it, and capacity to do it.
Say that again.
Get it. So are they hardwired for the role? Do they understand what is supposed to happen? Want it. This goes back to the open and honest piece of being healthy as a team. Is this something you actually want to do?
Yes,
you're a team player. Got it. No, you're willing to do it. But is this something you want to do?
Because
we're going to get the most out of this situation and the most traction towards that big goal if we have the right people in the right seats.
Very
so
nice.
Get it is hardwiring. Want it is, do you actually have the desire to do this role? And then capacity to do it is the skills and training. So do you have the skills, the training, the time required to execute at a high level on this?
Right. And is are you a training advocate? I mean, do you help people get trained, or is that you just point out the responsibility for the business owner to make sure that people are being trained? Is training part of your world?
Sort of. So my role, I'm a big proponent of training. My role is more teacher, coach, and facilitator.
Okay.
So I teach the teams the tools. I coach them on best practices and how to use them. Sometimes when you're in the game, it's hard to see what's happening in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I can serve as a sounding board and share best practices. And a lot of times, probably 80% of my role is facilitating the room. So I'll get a leadership team together, five or six people, however many it is on the team, and a good chunk of my time is spent facilitating the room. So when we're going around the room, I'm looking for what's not being said.
Okay.
So when we're looking for agreement on something, you know, we say, hey, Jimmy, you good with that? Yep. Carl, you good with that? Yep. Wait a minute. You're hesitating on something. What are you hesitating on? Going back to that healthy piece that we were talking about a minute ago, we're all here for the greater good of the organization. We're all here to achieve this big, massive vision, you know, our man on the moon statement. And we need to just get things out on the table and talk about them.
Good.
Understanding that we're all coming from a place of love, like everyone in the room loves each other. We're coming from a place of love, and we need to get issues out on the table so we can deal with them.
I think it's great to end this first segment on the concept of love. So thank you very much. I've been loving what you've been sharing so far, folks. Come on back from the break. Nick's got a lot of good stuff to share with us.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back during the break. I learned two things. Number one, I learned that Nick's got a ticket for the World Series game, the fourth game, presumably in New York. In New York.
Yep.
All right. Wonderful. So also in the break, Nick was giving me another example of what it looks like to make sure you have the right person in the right seat, and it's a Carolina example. So Nick, why don't you share that with folks before you move on to accountability?
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about having the right people in the right seats. So we've defined the roles and the responsibilities, and then we get the right people in the right seats. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about Carolina basketball and Tyler Hansborough. You know, he one of the best big men in college basketball. He won it, one, maybe two national players of the year, big man down under. That was clearly the right seat for him. He was the right person in the right seat.
Yes.
Now imagine if we had him at point guard.
Right.
He would have been the right person, but he wouldn't have been in the right seat.
Excellent.
So would they have had as much success
if he
was being the point guard?
Great example. Great example. Tyler, I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about accountability.
Yeah. So I get asked about accountability often. And usually it comes from a place of a team is not functioning up to their ability or not achieving what they think they can. And so they're like, how you know, I feel like we've got a bunch of good people, but how do I hold them accountable? And the reality is you can't. And that's going to shock a lot of people. So accountability is actually a byproduct of great leadership and great management.
Okay.
So there's no shortage of the one book you have to read on leadership or the one book you have to read on management. I think there's probably a million pages if we did a Google search on each of them. We separate the skill sets of leadership and management. Now, one person is wearing both those hats because you're leading and managing a team. So the difference what we do is we separate leadership and management into two skill sets, and you need to be able to interchange the hats. So leadership is providing a clear direction. This is where we're going. This is how we're going to get there. Management is providing clear expectations. So this is what good looks like. Leadership is working on the business, strategy. Management is working in the business, think tactics. Leadership is creating the opening. So think about when we were talking about creating those roles and responsibilities, you're creating the opening, you're giving somebody an opportunity to step up, step into that opening, grab the ball and run with it. Management is providing consistent communications. So do we have the circles connected, or are we giving them the guidance that they need?
Right.
And listening to them as well. The fourth difference is leadership is thinking and management is doing.
Nice. I see that.
So those are the four differences between the two. And there's a simple checklist. This is very, very high level, 30,000 foot view, but it makes leading and managing easier if you just think about these things on a weekly basis.
Right.
So there's five questions for each.
Five questions for leadership, five questions for management.
Okay. That's right. And so oftentimes people will get promoted into a role where they now have direct reports, or they're maybe a captain on the team or something like that. And because they're a star, people just assume that they now can lead and manage. It happens all the time.
They were good enough to get the promotion. They must
yep.
be great. They're going to do a great job.
Absolutely. But oftentimes there's no training to actually get them there. They may have never had a role where they were leading and managing people. They were just worrying about themselves, which isn't a bad thing. It just was a lack of experience. So a very, very simple framework to help people be better leaders and managers, which ultimately will help you achieve your vision. Five things on each, leadership and management. So the first one on leadership is asking yourself and your reports, are you providing clear direction? Yes or no? And this goes back to the open and honest. It only works when I'm sitting down across the table from you or when we're at lunch or something having a conversation. It only works if you're actually open and honest with me. I can't improve unless I know if it's working or not.
Nice.
So number one, am I providing clear direction?
I really like this program.
Awesome. Me too.
Yeah.
number two, am I providing the necessary tools?
Okay.
So think resources, people, maybe it's technology. One thing that is often forgot about is time and attention. Am I giving you the time and attention that you need?
Very good catch.
So number one, am I providing clear direction, yes or no? Number two, am I providing you the necessary tools, yes or no? Number three, am I letting go of the vine? So oftentimes, people want, they have a hard time letting go of tasks. They have a hard time having someone else do a task. And you can't effectively lead and manage if you're trying to do everything yourself.
Right.
You have to learn how to delegate to the right people for those things. The right people who are going to do probably a better job than you once you train them, and it also frees up time, which allows you time to think and be strategic.
Let me ask you one question about that point. I'm a big fan of open-endedness in all of its usefulnesses. And so one of the things I'm thinking as you're saying that is, when do you let go of the vine, right? Do you let go of the vine early enough that they still have a chance to imprint themselves on what's being done? Or do you let go of the vine when they're already real clear what they should be doing? And I guess it doesn't always need to be either or, but do you have any thoughts about that?
I think it could be both. I think it probably depends, as with most things. But you let go of the vine when you're feeling constricted by time.
Okay.
So that's how you create more capacity for yourself and for your team, is having the right people do the right activities at the right times.
Got it. Good.
So there's several variations of this. We call it delegate and elevate tool, but there, think about it, four quadrants, on a piece of paper, you draw across where you have four quadrants, things that you love and are great at, things that you like and are good at, things that you don't like but are good at, and things that you don't like and are not good at. And you just take a couple weeks, and every single task you do, you put in one of those four quadrants.
Nice.
You start with the don't like, not good at. And then just start delegating one thing at a time.
That quadrant's going to be very busy on my four square. Don't like and not good at.
So the idea is you would have 80% of your tasks in the top two quadrants.
Oh, good.
That you like and are good at, or love and are great at. 100% is ideal, but that's not realistic.
Sure.
Sometimes you just have to make the donuts and you're the one who has to do it.
Clean out the fryer.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we're winding down on this segment. Folks, come on back. Nick is going to just have so many more good things to say about this topic. Thank you so much, Nick, for sharing what you're sharing. Come on back from the break, folks.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back, folks. This is the last segment of Exploring Your Creative Genius. We're here with Nick Bradfield, who's been giving us great wisdoms that come out of his entrepreneurial operating system training about how to get teams just fully engaged and fully productive. We cut you off at the last segment, Nick. Why don't you finish up your thought and continue?
Yeah. So before the break, we were talking about identifying the roles and responsibilities, getting the right people in the right seats, then leading and managing. Leading, number one, are you providing clear direction? Number two, are you providing the necessary tools? Number three, are you letting go of the vine, delegating the right activities to the right people? Going into number four and five on leadership, number four is, are you acting with the greater good in mind?
Yay.
So are you acting on behalf of the team, or are you acting selfishly?
Got it.
Yes or no? Number five, this is something that people often forget, but are you taking clarity breaks? Are you taking time to sit and think?
Oh, good.
And if the analogy there is, good. If you think about if you're going through a forest and you're chopping your way through, and you might get there, but it'll take a while. You'll be zigzagging. But if somebody climbs a tree every once in a while and looks around, you'll be able to get there much faster.
I like that. That was me clapping.
So those,
I like that.
Those are the five leadership things that will get you down the right path. The five management are kind of the opposite of leadership, so you just got to remember which hat you're wearing. So number one with management, are you setting clear expectations?
Okay.
So it's hard to hold someone accountable if they don't actually know what is expected of them.
Very good.
Number two, are you communicating well? So this is – think about your question to answer ratio. Oftentimes, managers just sit and preach, as opposed to, "Hey, what's going on?"
Nice.
And just listening and gathering information.
Perfect.
Number three is, do you have the right meeting pulse? So this goes back to keeping the circles connected and ensuring that you're communicating well. And some people might need more communication than others, so it's just being aware of who your team is. If you don't communicate enough, you have anarchy. If you communicate potentially too much, then it's like micromanagement, and nobody likes that.
Right.
The fourth thing within management is one-on-ones or quarterly conversations. So in those quarterly conversations, you're checking in on the values, making sure they're still the right person, checking in on their roles and responsibilities so it's clear what their roles and responsibilities are, and then checking in on what they should focus on over the next 90 days. So you're going to have those conversations quarterly. It's not a review. It's, you know, you go out to lunch, you go have coffee, something like that. So it's more of a conversation, more open and honest. You can talk about what's working and what's not.
Very good.
The fifth thing on management is, are you recognizing and rewarding? And so this is the, you know, we always hear it, praise in public, punish in private. But when you get busy and things are happening, it's that's an easy thing to let slide. But it's super, super important.
People need
that enforcement. And they also need that punishment. They need to know, again, going back to the healthy, going back to the open and honest, they need to know when something isn't hitting the mark so that they can improve it. But you don't want to embarrass them in front of a bunch of people.
You want to operate out of love. That's a word that you've used more than any guest I think that I've had. And I'm just so loving hearing you say love. And so when you bring love to that discussion, it's more likely you're going to handle it productively. Yeah.
So that's how you hold people accountable. When you can get to yes in the leadership piece and get to yes in the management piece, accountability becomes a byproduct of it.
Nice. Very, very nice. Craft it right, and the goodness that occurs includes people holding themselves accountable.
Yep.
And holding each other accountable, huh?
Holding themselves accountable, holding each other accountable, and really – When you're doing this, when the direction's clear and the expectations are clear and you're at a yes and all of those things that I was talking about, if somebody's not the right fit, 9 times out of 10, they're going to leave. You won't have to have the difficult conversation.
When I had employees, I recognized that so many people are very, very bad at firing somebody. They just don't want to do it. But what I came to understand was that if it was – and I think this is what you were just saying – If it isn't working out for them here, I'm doing them a favor by saying, go find another seat, to use your language, go find another seat, because it ain't working out for you here.
And they know it.
And you're doing – and so I knew in my heart of hearts I was actually doing them a favor. In the very moment of the discussion, they may not feel so favored.
Right.
But I was setting them free to go find what they really needed to be doing.
That's huge, because everyone wants to be the right person in the right seat.
Right.
And if they're not, they know it, you know it. Just get it out in the open and have a conversation about it.
Well, folks, as we do with these great shows, this will be posted on Wednesday on the chapelboro.com website. I will write my three or four paragraph introduction to this great stuff, and Nick will have a lot of additional information there that you can follow up on, and you contact him if this EOS has really captured your imagination, this entrepreneurial operating system. Thank you so much, Nick, for being a guest. We're shaking hands and smiling, and that was a great show. Folks, I hope you have a wonderful Sunday afternoon and a great week. Thanks for listening.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.